Okay. In verse 29 of Luke 11, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment of the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here." Now, all of this seems pretty self-explanatory, doesn't it? But what is the sign of Jonah? "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." What is a wicked generation? I mean, what is the sign of Jonah? Can anyone in here tell me, what is the sign of Jonah? What does it mean, the sign of Jonah? The sign of Jonah was where Jonah was cast into the water, into the deep, right, going into the belly of the big fish for 3 days, and then being spit up alive on the other side, right? And so the sign of Jonah is that Jesus would be 3 days in death and resurrect. The sign to that evil generation that asks for a miraculous sign, the only sign that will be given it is the sign of Jonah. In other words, Jesus' resurrection after 3 days. That's the focus. Jesus' resurrection after 3 days. Now, I want you to notice the importance of what he means here about if this is a wicked generation that seeks a sign. Now, he's talking, what specific people he's talking about here? He's talking about the Jews there who he's preaching to in Jerusalem. "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." A wicked generation. Listen to this, what it says in 1 Corinthians 1. Let me get there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For the message of the cross," verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1, "for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And we're focusing on the fact that Jews look for miraculous signs. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. See, the whole idea is about proof. We're going to take this in a little bit different direction than maybe you've heard this before. It's all about proof. Proof. You know, you have some people who look for proof in seeing something, a miraculous thing happen, to prove whether or not you're speaking for God. Well, I'm telling you, even as they looked at Jesus for proof, they're going to look at us for proof.
They're going to look at us. Where's the proof that you speak for God? And we notice that it forms in two different things, just as we read. Jews seek a miraculous sign, and Greeks look for wisdom. Gentiles look for wisdom. This is interesting, isn't it? They want, you know, it's either going to be that there's substance in what you're saying that tickles their ears, or you have some miraculous sign to show that what you're saying is true. That's what it comes down to. And you notice how God has moked both of those things as carnal, hasn't he? What is it that Christianity right now, today, what they really hinge on? We have two different groups. Let's just look at Christianity for a second. Let's leave out all the atheists, and let's leave out all the people who don't know whether Christianity is true or not. Let's just look at what Christians say. They're divided into two groups, aren't they? There are those, like Pentecostals, who think that miraculous signs, and they focus all on the miraculous things, don't they? They focus on tongues. They focus on prophecy. They focus on a miraculous prosperity. And they focus on bodily healing. Right? The Pentecostals and the Charismatics, those are the things they look for to prove whether or not something is of God. Now, the others who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, or who don't depend upon gifts of the Spirit or miraculous things, they look for intellect. How does it match up? They look for wisdom. There is a group, the Gnostics. How many of you have heard of the Gnostics? They believe that you were indoctrinated into Christ through a secret knowledge. That the proof of whether or not you are an initiate into God is whether or not you have secret knowledge. Well, you know, it's basically the same kind of thing with a lot of the theology today. Do you understand theology? Do you see an evolution of the faith from the Antonicene fathers all the way till now? Do you see? Do you agree with the Council of Nicaea? Do you agree with people like the Reformers, Martin Luther and Zwingli and stuff, and Calvin? Can you prove Jesus was a historical figure like Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict? Can you reason out what good doctrine is with your faculties? Education is their way, isn't it? Can you see that these two groups are exactly the kinds of people that Jesus is talking about here with Jews and Gentiles? What the Apostle Paul said, Jews demand a miraculous sign, right? And Gentiles look for wisdom. To the Jews, we're liars, right? To the Gentiles, we're foolish. This is exactly, I want you to see what was demanded of Jesus. It's exactly the thing that is demanded of the church. All right? This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. How many of you think that a miraculous sign is the proof of a prophet? It's not. That's not what proves whether or not a prophet or a man is sent from God. Now, God has testified to men with miracles. But he did it in another way first, didn't he? Revelation of the Spirit. I want you to look at something here in Matthew 16. I want you to see where this parameter was laid down by Jesus himself. This criterion for understanding what is of God and what is not of God. It's not about intellect, and it's not about a miraculous sign. All right, back in Matthew chapter 16. When Peter was asked this question, when the other apostles were asked this question by Jesus, I want you to notice. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say it will be a fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. In the same chapter, all right, Jesus, when he was alone with his disciples, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, verse 13, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? I want you to see that this question of either wisdom or a miraculous sign always revolves around who Jesus is, and therefore will always revolve around who his body is. How are they identified? Miraculous sign or wisdom? So Jesus asked, who do people say the Son of Man is? I want you to notice that men, whatever it is they said, they were wrong. They replied, some say you're John the Baptist. Verse 14. The others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What about you? Jesus says. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to how Jesus answered. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, which means little rock. And on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, will not prevail against it. We're not talking about the devil overcoming the church here. We're talking about death. Let's remember what the sign of Jonah is. Jesus, 3 days in death, and then coming up alive through the resurrection of the dead. Death will not avail themselves against the church that has this revelation from God himself. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not to reveal to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, little rock. And on this rock, Petros, that revelation, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. Death will not overcome this church. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Now, I want you to see the point. How is it that Peter and the other apostles came to know that Jesus was the Christ? Was it by what a man showed them? Was it by a miraculous sign? Was it by wisdom? Or was it by revelation of the Father, revelation of the Spirit? That's okay. You can say it. It's right here. That's our propriety. That's always been our propriety. We walk by revelation of the Holy Ghost. We walk by revelation of the Holy Ghost. We don't walk by intellect or men's wisdom or how smart they are or how scholarly they are or how many or a consensus of how many smart guys you have on this hand. And let's look at why. Let's look at why we do not depend upon miraculous signs, nor do we depend upon intellect to figure it out. Let's look at intellect first. Here in this, notice what men said. This was the collection of wisdom in Jesus' time. The collection of wisdom in Jesus' time. Who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Was one of those speculations right? What the learned men of that generation had to say who Jesus was one of them right? Not one of them. The only one who was right about who Jesus is the one who had revelation from God. And this makes the argument, doesn't it, between theology men's thinking, and a consensus of many people. See, God is a consensus of one. It's God who reveals himself. I don't care how many guys you have in the other consensus. The consensus of many. This isn't a democracy. What the majority says doesn't go. That's not how Christianity works. That's where we've gotten, though. How many of you can see that's where we've gotten? Mainstream Christianity is decided by where the majority of those who call themselves Christians are. Isn't that true? Isn't that how we decide what mainstream Christianity is? By what the majority of the people think. Orthodoxy, very good. What is generally accepted as true. Well, let me ask you, in Jesus' time, when Jesus appeared upon the scene, what the Jews, what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Essenes and the other groups thought, were any of them right or even close to being right? Was the consensus of the religious authorities, the consensus of flesh, I don't care how smart or scholarly or how long they've been studying, were they right? Were they anywhere close to right? They weren't, were they? They weren't anywhere close to right. So look now, today, when we are about to see the true body of Christ revealed. They will be right for one reason. They walk by revelation. They don't walk by theology. They don't walk by the majority. They do not walk by orthodoxy, what is generally accepted as true. That's what orthodoxy means. What is generally, they do not walk by a consensus of what flesh thinks. What does it say about, I don't care how much you educate the carnal mind. I don't care how much wisdom you think there is in a collection of schooled men. When we touch on spiritual things, they are wrong. I mean, come on. There is another religion out there. Let's look at that for a minute. It's called evolution. You have to have faith to believe in evolution because there's no facts for it. It's a theory that's taught in all of our schools as facts. A lot of learned men are evolutionists. We have a lot of paleontologists. We have a lot of geologists. We have a lot of archaeologists. Right? Who all believe that evolution is true. Is that true or not true? A lot of learned men believe evolution is true. Well, let me ask you, is it? Is evolution true? Isn't that what the majority of science teachers believe? Isn't that what the majority of college professors believe? Isn't that what's taught in mainstream school? Are they right? Well, right there is a demonstration, isn't it? That scholarship and wisdom, that, you know, the wisdom of men, doesn't, and because you have a majority on your side, that doesn't necessarily make it right, does it? See, the point I'm trying to make here is you cannot find the truth by following the crowd. And what they will accept as proof, God does not consider as proof. God does not consider miraculous signs as proof. God does not consider the collective wisdom of men as proof of anything. Because the collective wisdom of men is based upon carnal thinking. And carnal minds by nature are corrupt. Because if they were true according to the word of God, the thinking of man would be right and recognize that God is God, wouldn't they? Do they recognize in general? This is you see, we've started to be like the world, Christianity. I want you to look at the first 12 apostles. There was only one of them that had any kind of a secular higher education. Only one. Who can tell me who that is? Who can tell me who that was? There's only one of them. No. Luke wasn't an apostle. Judas. Judas was trained as a scribe. Judas was the only one that had any higher education. You know, until Paul later, when Paul came. The original 12 is what I'm talking about. And Luke wasn't one of the 12 apostles. Luke was a Gentile physician that followed Paul. Right. Yeah, a lot of people think that he was an apostle, but he wasn't. He was a Gentile. He wasn't even Jew. But you see the point. Judas was the only one that had an higher education. Let me ask you, of those other 11 apostles, you tell me, would they pass muster with any church organization you know to be a pastor? They don't have a master's degree, do they? They don't have a bachelor's degree, do they? They didn't have an associate's degree, did they? They didn't go to high school, did they? They were fishermen. Can you see what has happened here? Can you see the basis that we have begun to pick our leadership? Instead of having those sent from God, we pick them according to worldly credentials. We pick them according to higher learning. We pick them according to that wisdom. Gentiles look for wisdom. Now, many other preachers are picked upon something that supposedly miraculous happened, huh? You notice how people will flock to somebody like Benny Hinn? We don't know anything about Benny Hinn's education, but we know that he hits people with coats and they fall down. Benny Hinn, how many of you can say that, how many of you know that Benny Hinn is where he's at with the following he's at simply because he displays signs? We're not saying they're true signs. He's there where he is because of his hooligan. I mean, You see the point? We have those two kinds of people, just like the bobber. Yeah, shenanigans. Can you see that? Most of the preachers fall in one of those two categories today, don't they? It's either because they have displayed some kind of fake miraculous signs or something, or because they have the wisdom of men thing down to pat. Is that how we should be choosing our leadership? You know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. The church doesn't ever choose its leadership. It can only receive or reject what God has sent. Isn't that true in the Scripture? Every man that God ever sent they didn't. You tell me if this is true now. Look in the Scripture. Every man that God ever sent, he had no consensus of the wise men behind him, did he? They rejected him. Why was John the Baptist accepted by the people? Was it because he did miraculous signs? Or because he had the wisdom of men thing down? Why was John the Baptist accepted? People recognized the authority that God had given him. It's that simple. People want to be baptized of him in the wilderness because they had a revelation that he was from God. There's no other accounting for it. Look at it. This man, dressed in camel's hair, baptizing people and preaching in the wilderness. He didn't do any miracles. Is it recorded that John the Baptist did any miracles whatsoever? And it's definitely not recorded that he had any kind of education among the Pharisees or the Sadducees or anybody else. He just appeared in the wilderness baptizing and preaching. So why did people go to him? Why did people go to him? According to the Scripture, why did people go to him? Because they recognized he was sent from God. You know what? The church is going to have to come to this realization. You can only receive what God has sent you. You can't pick your leadership for yourself. And you can't use your criterion as miraculous signs or the wisdom of men. You cannot use education or this tomfoolery as a reason to choose. You cannot use emotions or reason. You have to use one thing. What is that one thing? Somebody tell me. One thing. Revelation. Now, let's make this clear. If he is speaking by revelation, then he will be able to reason from the scripture, huh? He'll know the scripture. But that's not the proof. Isn't the reason? The proof is the revelation. But he will be able to reason. And chances are, God may testify to him with signs and wonders. Could be, huh? But you got to understand that these things alone are not what God uses. It comes first, that revelation like Peter received. And that's why everybody else was wrong and Peter was right. Because he heard from God. And let me tell you the bottom line truth of this. The only way you're going to be able to be sure is to hear from God. And this too is a wicked generation. And I tell you truthfully, the only sign they're going to get is the same sign that those Pharisees got and Sadducees. The sign of Jonah. God bringing life out of death. It's the only sign they're going to get. That's the only thing. That's what proves Jesus is what he said he was. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Life out of death, which only God can do. That's the only sign you're going to get. And you know what? When God establishes his church, it's going to be by miraculous power. There's going to be a unity that can only be born of God. And we're going to have all of the people of the church in dependence upon that revelation from God. Because the leadership God sends will focus them back to that revelation. Isn't that true? And if men are really as wise as they say they are, they will observe the signs of the times. Look around. Can you not see what has to happen, as Jesus was saying? You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. If you know when it's going to rain or when it's going to snow, how is it you don't know what's coming upon the earth from the signs that are all around you? The signs all around you right now, here in the physical, do they not tell you that something is coming? And the only way you're going to understand what those signs mean is revelation of Christ. Jesus, we must return to this propriety, lock, stock, and barrel, following the leading of the Holy Ghost, who was sent to lead us and guide us into all truth. And it's only by the Spirit, by revelation, will we recognize those whom God has truly sent, so that we are not led astray or tossed to and fro like children in waves of darkness. This is true. You cannot depend upon intellect, and you cannot depend upon miraculous signs. You need to walk by revelation of the Spirit through the Scripture. And it will be God. It will be God Himself who interprets for you, that you may understand freely what He has given you in Christ. and you will recognize the men that God has sent by the same propriety, by the Spirit through the Scriptures. Amen?
That's a good place to stop.